Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 2-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Imagine having heart problems since birth, being in and out of hospitals because of it, surviving cancer not once, but twice, maintaining a positive mental attitude through all that, and being only 24 years old. Well, that's my next guest. He also created a nonprofit called ProtectYourPair.org. He wants to give back to the cancer community, and let's meet him right now.
Today I have Andrew Gemmell. Did I say your name right?
Gemmell, but it gets pronounced many ways, so okay. It's fine.
So, Andrew, how are you today?
I'm pretty good.
Excellent.
Had a doctor's appointment. Everything was actually okay, but I am doing pretty well.
So I contacted you probably a few weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, to be on the show, and we finally have you on. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
I am almost 24. I'll be 24 in about a month. I just got done about 6 weeks ago with my second bout with cancer here. This time went through chemo, and it was a bit of a struggle throughout it, but I kept my head up. You know, tried to keep positive, tried to keep myself busy by making, as you had mentioned, Protect Your Pair. It's my nonprofit organization that I'm getting going for cancer support, basically, for people that are going through it, their families, their friends, and people that want more information, pretty much. Me going through it.
Is it testicular cancer or?
Well, I wanted to have the focus on that, but at the same time, I want to be able to support anyone who needs it.
Right. So it could be men or women, not just...
Men or women, okay. Yep. I know, I started as Protect Your Pair, and then I was like, well, it could be breast cancer or lung cancer, or, you know. I was like, Protect Your Pair doesn't cover everything, but right. I'm still going to help anybody out that needs it. So, but yeah, we're in the process of getting nonprofit status, and that has turned out to be quite a pain.
Why is
doing
that?
It's a lot of paperwork, tons of paperwork, lots of tax information, just tedious process. But I guess it's not as bad as I'm making it out to be, but...
It's better than chemo.
Yeah, it's better than chemo. Yeah, yes. Yes. I would rather be doing this than going through chemo.
Now, you said you had a bout with it before, and then it came back.
I did.
How did you find out that it came back? Sorry.
And my first bout with it was in March of 2008, is when it would have been. A month before my birthday, exactly, actually. I went to the doctor because I had a strange pain in one of my testicles, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. And I went to the doctor, and he sent me for all sorts of tests. You know, they did a ultrasound, they did x-rays, they did CAT scan, blood work. And that day I found out that I had stage one testicular cancer, a seminoma. And, you know, freaked out about it a little bit.
Just a little?
For about a half an hour. Yeah, no, actually, I just had this conversation with somebody earlier, and it was the stuff that I've been through in my life through, like, I was born with heart disease, so I've been in and out of the hospital throughout my life. And so this was just another thing. And I was like, okay, it's cancer, which is a big deal, but... I'm not going to let it get to me.
I love that attitude.
It turns out it gets to me a little more than I let on. But,
oh, yeah, it does for everybody.
So, you know, I went through surgery, didn't have to have radiation, chemo, or anything at that point. Went a year and a half going back to my oncologist every 3 months for scans and blood work, you know, the usual. And then about a year and a half later, it was actually October 16th when I got diagnosed the second time of last year with a stage 3 seminoma in my para-aortic lymph node.
Oh.
And,
which means what? Where is that?
That's by your left lung, that area, by the bottom of it, but kind of toward the middle of your body. So the biopsy process was very interesting. They had to try 4 times to be able to actually get a accurate biopsy on me, and then they came back with that, and I started chemo 2 weeks later. November 4th was my first day of chemo, and, you know, I went through my first round, and everybody was like, oh, you're taking this like a champ. I'm like, you know, it's just another thing. And then, but as time went on, I had complications. I ended up having what they thought was the swine flu after my first round.
Oh.
Of course, my immune system was shot.
Of course.
So
mm-hmm.
they were very nervous about that. Got me into the hospital, was on antibiotics and painkillers and all that for about 10 days. And then took a week off of being sick.
And that was
went
nice.
Back in for my second round. And that went okay. It was toward the end of it that I started losing my hair. And that was actually a pretty funny situation for me because my brother, actually, to give you some backstory, 5 years before me, had the same exact cancer I did.
Oh, wow.
Same exact. Same chemo drugs, same everything. I mean, almost to a T was his, just like mine. And he lost his hair, and, you know, he got upset. I don't blame him. I got a little upset when it started falling out.
Mm-hmm.
But then I decided I would have fun with it. And I started pulling my hair out of the top of my head and leaving it on the sides and ended up looking like my father.
That's funny.
And that was what I was going for, was looking like my father in the way his hair is. And he, I called him and he came to the hospital and I had my hat on and he goes, well, you got a hat on. He goes, I haven't seen you wear a hat. And I go, well, it's because I look like you. And I took my hat off and he's like, oh. He's like, anybody else, they would be upset about this, but you are making a joke out of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you have
had a
sweet comb over or something too, right?
Oh, yeah. No, well, kind of. It was pretty short, so I was trying to, you know, eventually I was just like, okay, forget this. And then I had my mom bring in clippers from home, and we just shaved my head.
Right.
Which was tough for me because I had been growing my hair out originally. And then when I found out I had to have chemo, I shaved it down to like a half an inch. And was like, you know, it'll be easier this way. And I shaved my face, which was very upsetting because I had this beard that I was so proud of.
I saw that on your Facebook, not your Facebook page, but your Told by a Tech website.
Yeah, I was so proud. And then, you know, I ended up, you know, losing that too. And mm-hmm. it's now finally starting to come back. But the hair on my head, on the top of my head,
yeah,
doesn't want to come back.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I actually just shaved my head for the first time since I finished my chemo today. And finally I was like, okay, I'm not hoping anymore. I know it's going to be a while. So
you're like that Seinfeld episode where the guy shaved his head and then
right.
he found out he was bald completely and he was very upset.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah, no. It's so funny how many things I can relate to in life to chemo.
Yes.
And the way I feel and the things that happen, I'm like, wow, that's kind of like going through chemo. People are like, what?
Well, it's funny because I tell people when they saw me, they know I used to work out and stuff. And they're mm-hmm. like, wow, you look great. And I said, yeah, cancer is the best diet I ever had. And they were like, like, well, you got to make.
I had the same thing. I know what you mean. Because I was a little overweight before I went in for my chemo. I mean, not that much. I mean, I've never really been a big guy, but I was overweight, and so, you know, I stopped eating, and I'm down probably 20 pounds still from where I was.
Wow, that's a lot.
At the beginning. And I was losing weight a couple of weeks ago. They had me on a lot of meds, and they took me off pretty much everything almost now. No more Ativan or Ambien or any of that. And I was starting to get anxious because I was so used to having these, like, safeguards almost. I could take an Ativan and I'd stop freaking out.
Right.
But, and they had me on Marinol, which I don't know if you're familiar with that at all, but most people that I talk to haven't been familiar with it. So I don't know.
Well, another survivor told me it's basically the prescription form of, marijuana.
Yeah. It's in a pill. And, when I stopped eating, like when I couldn't eat, they prescribed that, and that turned everything right around. I mean, literally. I mean, and I was like, no. And so they started giving me this, and the night they gave it to me, I hadn't eaten anything but, like, Ensure for, like, a week.
Ugh.
And I went home and took one of these pills and ate two steaks, and my dad had this look of shock and awe on his face. Like, there's no way that just made him eat that much. I was like, you don't understand. That was, like, the best meal I had ever had for a long time. And it was I didn't know about it. My doctor actually brought it up. He goes, have you ever heard of Marinol? I'm like, no. I haven't. And he's like, well, it's basically medical marijuana in a pill. He goes, and it doesn't mean that I approve of marijuana, but this will help you. And I'm like, yeah, later on we had a conversation, and he does. It was more of a official statement type thing on his part of him saying he doesn't support it. It was really funny. But, yeah, he actually suggested that I move to California.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah, it was pretty funny. I was like, well, I wish I could just up and go to California, but then I wouldn't have the doctors I have.
Yeah, exactly.
So I went through all that, and then, you know, I had PICC lines in, and they'd take it out every week after my chemo, and they wouldn't leave it in for me.
PICC lines are what, for people who
don't? It goes into, it's like a IV almost. Not really. It goes into a deep artery in your arm, like in, under the muscle, and they run it up and across your chest, depending on where you have it. Which arm it's in. I had two in each arm by the end of it.
Oh. Why didn't they just give you a port?
Because of my heart condition have, my pacemaker, they didn't want to compromise the other side of my chest in case I ever needed to have a pacemaker put over there. So they decided to do PICC lines, which I then wish they had done a port later on because they took a PICC line out and it really hurt, but I wasn't thinking about it because the other ones had hurt when they took it out, and they were fine. But it hurt for about 4 days really bad, and then it was really hard and swollen, my veins. And I ended up having a blood clot that was about 8 inches long in my arm from the PICC line. So ended up back in the hospital for that.
Are they giving you a discount? I think they should give you, like, a punch card.
They should have. They laugh at me, the nurses up there, because I go up and visit them. I'll go up at least once a week and see them, and they're like, what are you doing here? They're like, you were here for almost 2 months straight. Like, literally, almost 2 months. I was there for like 50 days or something, and, you know, broken up into weeks here and there, and they were like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I just want to come see you guys. I was like, if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't have made through what I made it through.
Exactly.
And I got to come up and see you. So they appreciated me coming up there. And actually, when I got done with chemo, I had a benefit concert to raise money for my Protect Your Pair thing. And a lot of them came to my benefit. And it was really nice to see them all outside of the hospital.
Well, that is nice. Did you recognize them? Because I know a lot of people you don't recognize.
Well, no, it was really funny because most of them came right from the hospital in their scrubs still. So most of them came right from work because it's like a few blocks away from the hospital where we were doing it. And so they showed up, and I was like, wow, you guys don't look any different. They're like, you do. They're like, what are you doing out in public? Because it was a week after my last treatment. My immune system was still down.
Oh, God.
And I'm out in a closed environment with, you know, 70, 80 people. And it's just like, uh-oh. Yeah, so they're like, wash your hands. You need to carry around Purell. You need to. I'm like, I'm not carrying around Purell. I'm not doing that. Come on. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun talking to them about it.
Well, I'm glad that didn't. Yeah, actually, when I was in the hospital getting my port put in, the nurse, I remember just being sassy to you.
Yeah.
I remember being sassy to the guy who took the x-ray because he took it wrong. I don't know. And then, you know, they were picking on him, so I was picking on him, too, and I was completely out of it because it was an OR procedure. And the nurse and the nurse was just like, you're funny. Come back and visit us anytime. I'm like, really? In the recovery room? I mean, that's kind of weird.
Well, that was like mine in the interventional radiology place when they were putting my PICC lines in the bottom of the hospital. They loved me down there because every time I was down there, I would not shut up the whole time. It was just talk, 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 talk. And then I'd actually look at what they were doing, and they're like, wow, how are you watching us put this thing into your arm right now?
I'd be on the floor.
Don't ask me. I have no idea how I'm watching you do that right now. But the only time they ever really got me, like, grossed out or anything is they went to put one in, and they missed the vein and pulled it back out, and blood just kind of, like, ran out of my arm. And I was like, whoa, okay, I'm never watching again. Sure enough, the next time I watched, and they were like, I thought you, because it was the same people every time.
Right.
I thought you weren't going to watch this time. Well, I can't help it. I don't know what it is, you know. It was just, yeah. But now, I mean, I think I've come a long way since my chemo has ended, actually, which is amazing.
Well, it sounds like with everything you've been through with your, you said you've had several surgeries. when you were growing up, and you still maintain a positive attitude, which is amazing.
I had a lot of surgeries when I was younger. I had open heart surgery to fix a hole in my heart, and had to have pacemaker implants done every few years. I've had 7 or 8 pacemakers now, which really I should have technically only had 3, 4 maybe, but they have a tendency to, or my body has a tendency to reject them.
Oh.
So, that's luckily, knock on wood, I haven't had any problems with the last couple. I've had them for 5, 6 years, and it's been okay.
Do they come with a warranty, like when you buy something at Best Buy? Like the extended warranty? Would you like
it
to get the 10-year warranty on that, Andrew?
No, it should. They should. But, yeah, it was nice. And it's amazing how much support you get from people that you've never met, that you talk to all the time on the computer, mm-hmm. like you, or Lynn Lane, that does Voices of Survivors.
Yes.
I wrote my voice for him and submitted it, and he knew that my last day of chemo was, and he emailed me at like 4 a.m. and said, in a couple hours, check out the website, because I'm putting your voice up on the day you finish chemo. And I was like,
That's awesome.
God. So that was perfect. So I was like, that just worked out so well. But, I mean, him, there's a lot of people that I, you know, Drew Olenoff.
That Drew.
Man. that Drew. And then Johnny Immerman.
Immerman
Angels. These are all guys that it's just been crazy. I mean, how much support they've given me.
What kind of support have they been giving you? I mean, besides the posting.
I mean, moral support, talking mm-hmm. to me about the things that are going on, or advice on getting my organization up and going.
Nice.
They just, no matter what it is, they'll talk to you about it, and they're great guys.
And I think the best thing, like we were talking about before the show, I'm not going to go into the exact story, but this, the whole cancer community coming together, you know, if we hear somebody who's in need, we'll want to help no matter where they are.
Right.
You know, because we know what that's like.
I have friends on Twitter that are California, Ohio, you know, they're all over the place, Florida, Texas, doesn't matter. I mean, and I've got their numbers and I'll call them and they'll call me and text message when we need something. And,
even people you've never met, like if I've just talked to someone on Facebook and unfortunately I had somebody pass away before their birthday. And I was just I was just so sad. And I remember that I barely even talked to this person on Facebook, and then they were gone. I'm just like, oh, what?
Yeah, no, I know. And that's the one thing about Twitter that tends to get me, and Facebook, is when I see things like that.
Yeah.
It's just, it's tough, but it's nice to see all the support that people give when things like that happen. Just even if they don't know the person,
exactly.
Their thoughts.
So you're back to your protect your pair. What are you hoping? Now you're filing your paperwork with
filing paperwork.
The man.
We're actually in the process of planning a second event here for the summer.
Excellent.
We want to do it just before school lets out, so we can have the college kids. Because I'm trying to focus on the younger generation, people around my age, and you know my sister's age and stuff like that. Because I would have never expected this to happen to me at 22, 23 years old. I would have never, ever expected it. You know, even though my brother had it happen to him at 25, there's no way that I would have ever thought
it's
me too.
Always somebody else, exactly.
And then it happened a second time, and I really want to just be able to offer support eventually for people to come and talk to us. Have people that'll be working side by side with me to help give support to people, and I mean that's basically it. And I want to be able to raise money for charities, and Protect Your Pair itself also, just so we can keep running. But,
that would be helpful.
Yeah, no, it'd be nice to be able to keep going. So for the future for Protect Your Pair, I want it to eventually kind of go across the country. I'm working on a book right now about my experience.
Excellent.
With what I've been through between the cardiac standpoint, the oncology standpoint, any of that. So Yeah.
Have you thought about becoming a doctor?
A little bit. Actually, I was just talking to my mom about being a nurse.
Oh, sweet.
Because I know all the stuff that my nurses did for me in the hospital, and I'd love to be able to help people like that on that front also. So, yeah.
That's excellent. I could never do that. I have this deathly fear of needles. It would be just the worst job for me.
Oh, my gosh. I have the worst fear of needles, but I can go get a tattoo and it won't matter.
Well, but that's different, though. I can get a tattoo, yes, but, you know, my doctor was literally like, you know, halfway across the room and she was doing something unrelated to me. And I was just like, okay, well, I'll get information from you later, doc. Do-do-do-do. Run out of the room there. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your book, are you going to self-publish, do you think?
Self-publish, probably. Mm-hmm. It depends. We'll see how it goes once I get further into it. I've actually got, there's another guy that I follow when he follows me on Twitter, Danny Duraney.
Yes.
You told me about him, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Wow. Talking about chemo brain. There we go. I knew it was going to kick in somewhere. Yeah, no, and I've been in contact with him, and he's great. Yes. And he's trying to help me. Told me once I get further into it to give him a call. So, yeah. Thank you for that, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, yeah. I want to get that done and just kind of, it's been tough trying to get it going. I was going to go straight through from the beginning to the end, like in order of what's happened. But I've decided that I need to start with the beginning of my chemo because everything that happened through my chemo relates to every big event earlier on in my life in some way, shape, or form.
I can understand.
So I'm
going to
kind of mix and match and throw them in here and there and do some backstory while I'm going through the chemo stuff. So
I can relate to that. And I can.
Yeah.
I love your positive spirit. Your hair story kind of reminds me of we had a general manager here who loved my positive attitude. And I didn't wear wigs. I just wore a do-rag and a baseball hat because I work at the radio station. And he said, I'm going to bring in my old toupee for you to wear. So he brought in his toupee, and I didn't take my do-rag off, but I put it on, and I just walked around the office with it, and we had a good chuckle. So, I mean, I guess I would have worn it out and about, but, you know, it was kind of funny. So if people want to get a hold of you, if they have...
You can either go to astoldbiotech.com or protectyourpair.org, and on there, there's actually, like, a contact page, and it has my email, has my partner's emails for Protect Your Pair. You can, anybody can contact any of us, and they'll probably direct you back at me. But, literally anything that anybody wants to talk about, wants to know about, I will try and help in any way, shape, or form.
Excellent. And that's your phone. Your phone kind of sounds like...
My phone is vibrating because my friend keeps going, where are you?
Well, it's funny. It sounds like the wrong answer on Family Feud or something.
Actually, yes. Yes, you're very right about that. Apparently, awesome. He's standing in line for this concert, and I'm like, I'm not getting out of my car yet. But, yeah, he's like, it's freezing. I was like, I'll be there in a little bit. He's like, it's fine. They're not even letting anybody in yet. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, enjoy your concert. We'll wrap up.
Okay.
I am the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I'm there, Mel Majoros. You can find me on Twitter at Mel Majoros. My blog spot, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. You can also email me, thecancerwarrior@gmail.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.